Wow, what a powerful testimony, what a powerful day, and to God be the glory, amen. Hey, I told you about a time when I was sick with mono in college. I had to go home for about a week, and one of the consequences was that I missed a New Testament survey exam. I was heartbroken. Anyway, I went back to when I went back to school, I talked to Dr. Gromacki, the New Testament survey teacher, professor, and I said, "Hey, Dr. Gromacki, I said I missed the exam because I was ill and I had to go home. What should we do about that?" And he said, "Well, we could do one of two things. You could go ahead and take the exam, or we could just forget about it." I said, "Hallelujah, I'll take the latter of the two." So I did not have to take the exam, and it was by God's grace, and that is grace. And I was pretty excited about that. But in most cases, we have to take the exams, don't we? We study and study, we prepare, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and pray some more, and then we take the exam, and then we pass. That is the grace of God, because He enables you to do what you need to do. However, there are times, and maybe you've experienced this, that you fail. It did not go well. Well, I submit to you that that's still the grace of God. Because God is at work and He wants to teach you. He wants to help you understand something, maybe new or fresh, or realize, you know what, you got to really pay closer attention to a certain matter. Oftentimes I have people come into my office with counseling problems, life issues, situations that they're struggling. And they pile these problems on my desk, and I'll take notes, and I'll be talking, I'll be listening, and they'll be sharing the burdens of their heart. And after they said, "Well, that's about it," I'll look at them, I'll say, "You know what? What you are experiencing here is the grace of God." And they're like, "How could that possibly be?" Well, because what is happening is that God is putting heat to their feet to boil the crud to the surface so that it can be dealt with. And it's and hopefully that helps and encourages people concerning the grace of God in life situations. You should view the grace of God as being prevalent in your life. What a relief and blessing to experience grace. And we have learned here in the last several weeks that not only are you saved by grace, but you live by grace. It is by grace that you are able to do fill in the blank. It is by grace that you are able to do anything, you see. God's grace is prevalent. A couple weeks ago, our take-home thought was God enables, and we put it in the first person, God enables me to do what God says I ought to do. God enables me to do what He says I ought to do. And grace affects your salvation, your security in Christ. It affects your ability to live faithfully for the Lord. Grace enables you to wait for the Lord's return and enables you to endure hardship. God's grace empowers you to do His will, enables you to overcome bitterness. His grace provides help in your time of need. His grace empowers you to serve and enables you to fulfill every responsibility that God asks of you. That's grace. And I trust that as we went through those matters that you were convinced that God's grace is essential and sufficient to doing what you know you ought to do. And all of those empowerments and enablements and sufficiencies of which I just spoke are all supported by specific passages of Scripture. We also discussed another passage, and that was in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And Pastor Nate, just a couple weeks ago, before the storm continued with verses 1 through 15. And he challenged us with this take-home thought. The members of FBC Troy must steward God's grace by giving of themselves to each other and our community. We heard testimony of that this morning. Based on verses 1 to 15, the emphasis was upon your heart in giving of yourselves. Again, Paul mentioned that in the testimony here. That it's your heart that makes the difference. It's your heart that shows when you have opportunities to give. And Pastor Nate challenged us with grace specifically in serving the Lord and serving others. This morning I want to hit the matter of giving financially head on. Now don't just stay put, okay? Don't let's not have a mass exodus. We don't talk about that all the time around here, but we're not afraid to speak of it when it comes up here in the text. The way you handle your money says volumes about your heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, you want to know where your heart is? Find out where your treasure is going, where your finance is going. That's where your heart is. That's what the Scripture says. So here's our take-home thought this morning, and that is God, and I put it in the first person again, God enables me to give. Let's say that together. God enables me to give. This Sunday, I want to reiterate some of the principles Pastor Nate touched upon and then apply them to this matter of financial giving and further develop those principles based on this passage, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. So take your Bibles and turn there if you're not already there. And when you understand that it is by grace, the grace of God, that you have all that you have, all your possessions, all your money, all your abilities, all your skills, all your talents, all your experiences, all your relationships, all your time, even the air that you breathe, when you realize that it is all by the grace of God, then you humbly give back out of a grateful heart. We talked about here at FBC that our strategy is connecting, growing, and giving back. That as we connect with God and others and we grow in our faith, that it shows as our testimony here this morning by giving back. It shows out of a grateful heart. I remind you of the grace of giving patterned after the Macedonians of verses 1 through 7. The context here is that the believers in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church, were in great need. They were being persecuted for their faith. And because of their faith, many of them lost jobs or couldn't get work. People wouldn't do business with them. So they were hurting financially. And word got out. And churches throughout the region decided to take up an offering. And so Paul's mission team had taken on the responsibility of collecting this offering. And in this passage, Paul was appealing to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church, to follow through with their commitment to give to this need. In verses 1 through 7, Paul uses the Macedonian churches as an illustration of giving out of and because of God's grace. Pastor Nate covered verses 1 through 15. Look at verses 16 through 24. And in this passage, you're going to discover how extensive this movement of giving prevailed by the grace of God. Verse 16, "But thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. And with them, we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So, give proof before the churches of your love and our boasting about you to these men. Paul is making the Corinthian church aware of the fact that Titus, who, because of the Lord's work in his heart and by his own initiative, was spearheading this collection, the collection of this offering. And Titus, in verse 16, had the same caring heart that Paul had, and he led this team of individuals along with this other unnamed individual. We don't know who it was. Some have tried to speculate about that. But in verse 18, he talks about this guy who is famous for preaching the gospel. This matter of taking up this gift was a very spiritual matter. And so the team then traveled throughout the region in order to take up this collection. And so Paul commends Titus and the team for their servant spirit evident in this endeavor. And in verses 20 and 21, Paul assures the Corinthian church that everything was being handled with integrity. Look at verse 20. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. The matter of financial giving was a matter to which the Corinthian church was to give careful spiritual attention. And so should we. And this week I want to look at some principles of grace giving that we learn from this passage. As Paul appealed to the Corinthians' heart of generosity. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Here's the first principle, and that is, give even when it is difficult to do so. That might be a hard one to swallow, right? But think of the testimony that we see here of the Macedonians. In the middle of trials and in extreme poverty, they were willing to give. They were going through a tough time. Are we not sure what the difficulty was? But it was a severe trial. Seems to indicate that the trial then caused financial struggle because they experienced this extreme poverty. Now, I don't know about you, but when the finances get tight, this guy here ain't happy. it squeezes in on you. And I remember, especially early marriage, going through college and then getting married. And Teresa's dad warned me that these ladies cost money, but I didn't listen. And I married her anyway. And have loved every minute of it. But there were those times. And then the kids come along. Oh, what a blessing. And what a financial burden. At times. But no, there were just those times, the challenges. And it just seemed like, I remember one time we were driving along. We had our car. And I had just finished the budget that morning. And we're driving along, going over to her mom's house. And I was rejoicing because we had $1.20 left in the checkbook. And that was, literally, it was like $1.20 left in the checkbook. Here it was. It was a little more than that because I was really excited. It was like $118. So we're driving over to her mom's, and all of a sudden the car goes, I go, oh my goodness, there goes that $118. Oh man, and it turned out to be $1,200. Back then it might as well have been a million because those are tough times. And you have those financial ups and downs when that happens, right? And you're just like, and then the pastor gets up on Sunday morning and preaches on giving. What a challenge. to give even when it is difficult to do so. How can you do that? By the grace of God. That's grace. He enables you, even in the difficulties, to do so. And God helping you to do the difficult thing. I often hear, well, Pastor, I really can't give right now because things are really tight. Well, I think we need to learn from the Macedonians as to when and how to do that. Here's another principle. Give by your own choice. Give by your own choice. Look at verse 3. For they, the Macedonians, gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They said, hey, we heard about this offering. We want to give. Begging us to give. Look at verse 2. Chapter 9 and verse 2, he says, look at verse 1. He says, now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, about this offering. For I know your readiness, of which I boast, about you to the people of Macedonia. Isn't it interesting? He's bragging to the Corinthian church about the church in Macedonia, and he had bragged to the Macedonians about the church in Corinth. You know, it's like, man, it was an exciting time, but it was of their own free will. I know of your readiness, of which I boast. Look at verse 5 of chapter 9. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift. In verse 7, each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under a compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful giver, it literally means hilarious giver. God loves a hilarious giver. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I have an opportunity to give. This is awesome. And that's literally what it says here and what it means. And the point here is that when you comprehend the grace of God, when you comprehend all that God has, we just sang from our hearts, how great thou art. When you comprehend the greatness of God, then you go, God, here, you know, I give back to you. And God loves a hilarious giver. He says it right here in his word. Look at the zeal of verse 2, which is possible when you understand grace. It's the attitude of, yes, of course I'll give. How could I hold back? And the readiness of verse 2. I don't know about you, and if you didn't experience this, I'll just give my testimony. At FBC, we get a giving statement at the end of the year. You can get it printed or email. And when I opened my giving statement, I went, oh my goodness. I didn't realize. And I was just so excited. And I hope you were too. And I know many of you were, because I know how you've given. Just by looking at how we finished the year this past year. It's an exciting time, and I trust that you experience that when you understand the grace of God. I can't help but think of the Lincoln Community Center Thanksgiving feast and then the coat and shoe drive. You know, just to know that we didn't have to get up here and, come on, people, we got 100 bags to fill. Now, you know, really, come on. Okay, we're going to pray about this and fill the bags, and all right, we're going to pray again. Come on, we need to fill those bags. We're going to keep marching around here until we fill those bags. We said, hey, we're going to have coat and shoe drive. We want to help these kids in the community. We want to show Christ is indispensable to this community. And the bags are back there, and the details are there. Go for it. And I mean, it was just like, they were just scarfed up, no pun intended. But and it was just amazing. I love that picture of all of those bags sitting on the stage. You know, it's like, this is so cool. And I love the picture of all of the desserts. I mean, of course, you know, this is a Baptist church. We love desserts. I mean, we're going to have more desserts in this fellowship meal after church than we have in the main course. But anyway, those pictures of all those desserts lined up at the stage at the Lincoln Community Center. It's just, your giving heart is a refreshment. And it's just a blessing. And it's because of the grace of God at work in your life. This church is alive because of who we are in Christ. Amen? And your giving is a testimony to that. And you know what? That giving is patterned after God's. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that is extravagant giving. To think that God was willing to see His Son sacrificed, literally sacrifice His Son on the cross. He gave His Son. That if you would just believe in Him, you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. That's salvation. That's God's grace. And we pattern our giving after Him and His grace. We give because He gave. And we pattern our giving after His rich, generous giving. Here's another principle, and that is give according to your ability. Look at chapter 8 and verse 3. For I testify that they, the Macedonians, gave as much as they were able. And then Paul says in chapter 8 and verse 13, I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. The challenge here is evaluate your budget. Evaluate your finances. God's not asking you to, if you make $40,000 a year, He's not asking you to give $45,000 a year. That's not good stewardship. The principle is what I'll call proportionate giving. Let's, for example, just use some easy numbers here because I'm not a mathematician. But a person who makes $20,000 a year and gives a tithe, 10%, gives $2,000. He has $18,000 a year to live on, right? However, a person who makes makes $50,000 a year and gives a tithe, that's $5,000, has $45,000 a year to live on, $27,000 more than the person who earned $20,000 and gave $2,000, has $18,000. He has $27,000 more a year to live on. So, it's obvious that the person who makes more can stand to give more. It's proportionate giving. It's not so that anyone is unduly hurt. The point is to give as you are able, proportionate to your income. That's grace. It still takes initiative. The next principle builds upon that, and that is even in light of that, proportionate to your income, give sacrificially. You give sacrificially. Look at verse 3, chapter 8. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and, okay, let's say they may have given a tithe, maybe they made $20,000 a year, they gave $2,000, and they gave beyond their means. Why? Because of God's grace. It was the grace of God. The Macedonians gave beyond their ability, and Paul uses that testimony to encourage and to even challenge the Corinthian church, as we're being challenged here today. They remembered Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What does that mean? Well, look at chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. The point is this. Chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up in his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. God will meet your needs. I'm convinced more than ever that you cannot outgive God. You can't. We have taken that to heart and we have seen the blessing of God in our lives. And I just encourage you to see the same. Their sacrifice amounted to a bountiful, generous offering. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus." The context of this is because the Philippian believers had given generously to Paul. They gave so much, it was kind of like, oh wait, ooh. They then said, we gave so much, now we have a need. And that's the context. He says, "But my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus." Can't outgive God. That's grace. Here's another principle of grace giving, and that is give with a view of sharing in the ministry. Give with a view of sharing in the ministry. You give as unto the Lord, no strings attached, no conditions. I will give if, no, I give freely as unto the Lord. Look at verse 4 of chapter 8. Of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They didn't have to do it all. They took part in that. Chapter 8, verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches. They were carrying this offering and no doubt giving of themselves as well and of their time to take the offering. They were working together as messengers. Verse 24, so give proof before the churches of your love. When you give to the Lord through the ministry of FBC, you are taking part in the work of God. You're giving back to something far greater than you can possibly imagine. You are a part of impacting this community and beyond for Christ. You enable us to give generously to the needs of the community in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not minimizing that if you chose to buy a coat and shoes for a child and you did that on your own by yourself and you gave that to one child, I'm not going to minimize that, because some of you did that. Some of you probably saw maybe a neighbor child who said, you know what, we're going to buy him a coat, and that made an impact on that child's life and sowed the seed of the gospel. But I'm here to tell you that as we do that corporately and together, the impact that has made and can make is just amazing. We are working together for the cause of Christ. Working together. And together we do so much more. You are impacting lives for Christ. And that's what Paul was telling the Corinthians about. the people in Macedonian churches, as well as their gift to the Jerusalem church. Again, you will not regret giving generously. And when you give to the Lord through FBC, you share in the ability of the pastors to prepare messages and lessons and allow them to minister to folks in need. As needs arise, you support the ministry in that way. You help provide lesson materials. As our children and youth programs, they have needs. We have a copier that come in, and secretaries run things off for teachers and so on. You are enabling us to do that, to get the message and make out and make disciples. And again, efforts in showing Christ. When you give, you provide for efforts in showing Christ is indispensable to our community and to missions. How exciting. We have Sue Rowland coming this next Sunday. And she's going to give a testimony as how your giving is enabling her to minister to people in Ireland. You know, how awesome is that? As you give, you have a part in reaching people for Christ in Ireland. Nadine Hennessy, her work in Kosovo. Amazing. We got a letter from her this week. It's just amazing what your giving is allowing her to do in the lives of children, specifically in teens in Kosovo. Your giving enables that. You won't regret giving generously. And if you are giving faithfully, you have a part in that. And I encourage you to rejoice. So remember a couple things. First, give yourself to the Lord first. Pastor Nate brought that out a couple weeks ago. They did not, verse 5 of chapter 8, they did not do as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Another reminder. Your giving is a result of God's strengthening grace. We've been talking about that. Your giving is a result of God's strengthening grace. And then also remember, God's strengthening grace results in abundance. More grace. As you give, you get excited and you say, wow. And then God gives more grace and more enablement. Verse 9, for I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through His rich, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. He was rich, He gave everything. He became poor. And then Christ, God highly exalted Him and provides for you that salvation that you could never have on your own. So look at chapter 9, verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. As you understand the grace of giving, the fact that you can only give because of and by the grace of God, His enabling power, you will experience a refreshing approach to your giving. It's like, wow, just think of this and what God has done for me and what I'm able to do through my giving. So I'm asking you to take time this week to consider your giving in light of these principles. How do you need to grow? There's no one who has arrived in this area or any area of the Christian life. How do you need to grow? Some need to just start giving. You've been sitting there going, man, I don't know. Like, things are just really tight. You need to start. You need to come up with a plan. Say, I need to start giving. Some need to be faithful in giving. Giving regularly. Others need to say, you know what, we're gonna start with a tithe. We're gonna take 10%. Don't know how we're gonna do it, but we're gonna work on our budget. We're gonna work hard on giving with a tithe. Others need to think about giving even more sacrificially, beyond your ability. Some, and here's another challenge that you may not have thought about. How can you give after you die? Some need to think about how can you give from your estate and include your estate, include First Baptist Church or the work of the Lord in your giving even beyond. You see, we never outgrow it, do we? It's a mindset of the believer who has experienced the grace of God. We need God's grace in this matter, don't we? So let's ask for His help. Heavenly Father, thank You for all that we have in Christ. We are rich in Christ because of who we are in Christ and because of all that Christ has accomplished on our behalf. So I pray, Father, that You would encourage us. Father, I know that there are times when folks look at this topic of giving as a negative. But I pray, Father, that in light of the spirit of this passage here, that we would have a refreshed mindset about Your faithfulness to us and Your pattern of giving through our Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, and that we would take You at Your word and be faithful because of grace and by Your grace to give. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, very specific challenges here this morning concerning the matter of giving in light of grace. There may be someone here who may say, you know what, I have not acknowledged the grace of God in my life through salvation. I haven't trusted Christ as my Savior. I need to trust Christ. We want to help you with that. We encourage everybody to take a connection card from the pew in front of you. Fill that out. You can also fill it out on YouVersion or through our website. And there's a place where you can make a request and you can say, or a commitment. And you say, I need to know about salvation through Jesus. Or maybe you understand it and today you finally say, I surrender to Jesus. We want to know about that. If it's personal, if it's private, there's a little box that says you can check for pastors only. Many of you have responded to that, and in a moment we're going to have our time of communion. I think this would just be a good time, even in your own heart, if you've been holding back, to confess that before the Lord. As we come together for communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about having a right heart as we partake of communion together. And maybe that's an area where you say, you know what, I need to have a right heart about this area in my life. I need to start giving as God has given to me. And these other challenges of maybe giving in a greater way, giving sacrificially, giving from your estate. I don't know. Take those challenges to heart. And if you'd like to make that commitment, or jot it down, or you have questions about it, check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you about these matters. But I just encourage you to stretch yourself to grow in this area of your life and ask for God's help. And as you're praying, as 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about, it says each one should examine himself before he eats of the bread or drinks of the cup. A couple points of examination. Are you certain of salvation? If you haven't trusted Christ, you don't know what that's about, it would be better for you to pass up the elements and get those questions answered. For the believer, this is the time where you say, you know what? I need to settle. If there's any heart issue that has not been settled before the Lord, this is the opportunity to confess that.